This Christmas, spend it with Dolly Parton. Have you ever wanted to get pregnant by a dead angel, Dolly Parton? Just by her pointing her finger at your belly as you sing about it? Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square is the newest, hottest installment of Dolly Parton's movie series. And it's hotsy-totsy with some sexy scenes. And by sexy, I mean very Christian. Come along and join us as we review this amazing monstrosity.
Amen.
We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas and a sappy new year.
Hello and welcome to Netflixmas. I am one of your hosts, Scarlett Alexandra.
And I am two of your hosts, Holly Cuomo.
You're two of them?
No, I'm not pregnant. I should have just said one because we were going to talk about pregnancy. No,
I was going to ask if you had like a vestigial twin that I like didn't know about.
Nope. No, I'm just big. That's just all me.
Holly, what? I hear a scratching at the floorboards.
Are you okay?
I'm just hearing a scratching underneath the floorboards, and oh my god, climbing out of my floorboards back from the dead after I killed him this past Halloween and tried to hide his body is Adam Serwa.
That's my floorboard noise.
Oh my god, you're back from the dead. How was it spending a month under my floorboards?
You know, it's fine. Here's the thing. You can't kill stupid. And I am living proof of that.
Amazing.
I spent a long time eating the crumbs that you dropped through the floorboards. Thank you very much. I enjoy Hostess. It's a good treat.
Yeah.
I'm ready to talk about Dolly Parton.
Did you make friends with all the possums in her tub?
I did. I had a lovely, I started a little critter wrestling federation.
Oh,
that's cute.
Possums, extremely easy to train to fight.
Hell you know,
raccoons
I don't doubt it.
Need no training. They are warriors through and through.
Are you part raccoon?
No, but I do feel a kinship with the trash monster.
Good.
Trash panda, I think, is the usual nomenclature, the scientific one.
Yeah, it's the genus and the species.
Yes.
Genish, trash species panda. So, anyway, welcome so much to this podcast. I can talk
it's
good.
It's a pleasure.
What was your, I guess, like, overall impression of this? Of this lovely piece of community theater called Dolly Parton's on the Square.
It was about what I expected. Although I went in expecting to be like, okay, this is gonna be like really wholesome and Christian. I'm gonna like kind of ironically enjoy it, but like not really. Nah, dog, I fucking cried. I was getting misty eyes all the time. It's not good, but delightful.
Oh, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of one of those like popcorn balls, but it's covered with frosting and sprinkles. Like you'll eat it because it's Christmas time and you'll enjoy it, but you'll also deep down inside hate it and never want to eat it again.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's zero substance here. But there's something very sweet and delightful about it that I can't resist.
Oh, yeah. That's such a wonderful description. I love it. Well, I mean, of course.
If I hadn't taken notes, I wouldn't remember anything about this movie.
Oh, yeah, I regret not taking notes. I was like, I'll just wing it. Scarlett's leading this one. And I didn't take notes. And I was like, fuck.
Do you know how many songs are in this 1 hour and a half long movie?
Oh, Jesus. 17.
I was 14, which is still a lot. Oh, and a lot of them
pulling it out.
A lot of them like went over like 5 minutes.
Jesus.
So
yeah,
I think the opening number was like an 8 minute song.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I don't know if either of y'all have seen Into the Woods, but it like gave me those kind of vibes of like, hi, we're going to do all the exposition that you need in this one opening number. Did not keep up the pace that follows that montage in Into the Woods, but
I guess I'm so used to it because I'm such a huge fan of musicals, mm-hmm. that like, I don't know, I'm used to that amount of exposition personally. Although it was, I don't know, because it's such a simple premise. For me, it was hard to keep up with, like, oh, we're being introduced to all these characters all at once with, mm-hmm. like, no context about what they do. And then we find out what they do, which is fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I didn't realize, like, when they announced the movie that it was going to be, like, a play.
Yeah.
And then I saw the, like, opening things, and I was like, oh. It's a play.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was enough prepping myself. I didn't. Whose budget?
Glee.
Oh
yeah.
That dumb show about all the high schoolers that did a cappella and still for some reason had sex.
I thought you said like another word and I was like, what the? I'm like, am I dumb? Am I just stupid? But no, you said Glee.
I'm sorry. I didn't pronounce it the right way. It's supposed to be Glee.
Glee!
Yeah, I do find musical numbers to be more bearable when a camera's just spinning around it. It's real fun. But let's take a look at the cast, of course. There's the indomitable Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Who, didn't she donate a bunch of money for, like, COVID stuff?
Research, yes.
Yeah.
Dolly, okay, so someone was, probably. Like, shitting on Dolly Parton the other day, and I was like, look, I am not a country music fan by any means, but Dolly Parton is a national treasure. She, like, donates books to children. She turned her hometown into a fucking amusement park, gives back to her community. It's, like, one of the greatest songwriters of, like, the millennia, and, like, fucking helped develop a vaccine to COVID to save the goddamn world. She can make all of the shitty plays that she fucking wants. She can Tyler Perry the shit out of Christmas for all I give a fuck.
Like, she's written almost as many songs as there are episodes of Jeopardy.
Oh, I was going to say, she's almost written as many songs as there were in this movie. But,
she
did write all the music in this movie.
She's written all the music, but yeah, she's written and recorded over 400 songs.
There was a point during lockdown that I was like, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to work through the Dolly Parton back catalog. And then I like took a look and was like, oh, this is a 3-month project.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
There's much. Because there's that. She's also recorded like fucking 17 live albums or some shit.
She just came out with a Christmas album.
With the B-sides.
I mean, she's incredible. Like, she's
a dynamo.
She's a dynamo, and she's been around for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, she's keeping it tight. Like, I know she's got some, you know, help in that department, but she's keeping it tight.
I would like to give a sincere shout out to her plastic surgery team, because she really, like, hits that line between eternally youthful and gracefully aged, like, fucking songbird of a generation.
Yeah.
Of every generation.
Oh, she's fantastic. Yeah, she's 74 at this point. But...
What?
Yeah. Yeah, she's 74.
How is that even possible?
Plastic surgery, Adam.
I mean, yeah, the thing that we were talking about. But still, I didn't think that, like, American medicine at any degree was that good.
Look, she developed a vaccine. She helped develop a vaccine to COVID. She can live forever.
That's the vaccine I want to take. Put me in the trials for that. I'm already, I'll test it for Dolly. I'll die for Dolly. I'm not even that big of a Dolly Parton fan.
Yeah. I'm not either, but I will stay for her. Yep.
Yeah, she's as old as Donald, the person I shouldn't talk about.
The former president.
The former president.
I know it's a podcast, but I'm making jerking off motions.
Well, Dolly's national treasure. Oh my gosh. And also, so I love Dollywood. If you've never been to Dollywood, fucking go. It's such a delight. Like, it's just like, it's like the theme park equivalent of just like getting a big warm hug. And like, but in like the Smoky Mountains. Oh, it's like everyone there just like acts like they're like personal friends with Dolly, and like all the rides are themed off of her songs, and it's just got this like really like nice like country feel to it.
Is it only open from 9 to 5? That'd be really good though.
That'd be hilarious.
Is the Jolene ride just someone stabbing you in the heart for
you? You don't have a Jolene ride.
You go in with your husband and you come out single instead.
You come out and there's just a lawyer just handing out photocopied divorce agreements.
But also, so her workers, the people who work like in Pigeon Forge as well, which is the city in which Dollywood and other Dolly related attractions exist. During the Tennessee fires, she paid them full wages, like while they weren't able to work.
What a fucking beautiful angel.
Oh, sorry. I can say 1,000 amazing things about Dolly Parton. And even though this movie was obviously very, very Christian, it still just had like a warm message to it.
Yeah.
It was the good kind of Christian.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was the good kind of Christian. I will co-sign that. They got Jennifer Lewis was also in it.
No.
Amazing.
She was and she was Mama Odie in Princess and the Frog. And I know that's not the movie that I should know her from, but who am I kidding? Come on. I'm just a nerd for Disney and musicals. Sorry.
No, Jennifer Lewis is great. They got Josh Segarra. He's Puerto Rican. I knew he was too tan to be like full white.
He
beautiful. Man.
I know. Oh my god.
I'm surprised he has this many acting credits because he was a very bad actor. He wasn't good at it.
I wasn't paying attention to that. I was just like, finally, a big girl in a movie's got a hot dude. Let me just be happy about this.
Oh my god. No, I know, and she was fantastic. What is her name?
Mary Lane Haskell. She's in a lot of Dolly movies. Delightful.
Yeah. So I thought she was so, so good, and I was just like, oh, they cast like, you know, a plus size woman for like a lead role, and she's gorgeous. Her voice is flawless. She had some cute little dance moves too. And I was like, how did they find her? Her dad's a producer.
Oh, she also has been in a bunch of Dolly Parton movies. Dolly Parton's Code of Many Colors, Dolly Parton's Christmas of Many Colors, Circle of Love, Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, and Christmas on the Square.
How many?
Before we move on completely from our boy Josh, I have a fun fact that I found out, because I definitely thought he was gay at first. Because he has a little bit of the gay face, and I was like,
you know what?
Is this a new crush? And I like looked him up to see like, what's your personal life like? And he's straight as an arrow. He's got his wife, he's got his kids, I think kids. I don't know. I didn't read too far into that. But what I did find was that when he was a kid, he learned, out of the Wikipedia, learned to sing in Pentecostal church, but aspired to be a professional wrestler.
Ooh.
And I will lock up with him any day. I'm ready. I'm ready to train you, friend.
Yeah, just because he's married to a woman doesn't mean he doesn't like men, you know?
IMDb is also telling me that he was in an a cappella group, so I think...
Fucking shock. I think my radar is correct, but you know, unless he wants to train and do some extra credit practice, then like we'll let him go on with his beards and have a nice life.
Can we talk about Christine Baranski?
Yeah, oh boy,
I love her.
She's so good.
She's iconic. She's also in her 70s. or about to be.
She's in her late 60s.
68. But
she is so gorgeous. Okay. And there's just so many things that I've seen from her over the years. Of course, she was in Into the Woods, Mamma Mia. She was in Chicago, if you remember that role of Understandable. But one role that she's had that I cannot get out of my brain every time I see her is from when the Grinch stole Christmas.
Yes, because they didn't have to give her that much makeup.
It really didn't. I had a friend watch this Dolly movie with me, and she came on the screen, and he was like, oh, she looks like a Who. And I'm like, oh, how right you are.
Yeah. She's so pretty.
Martha May Huvier. That is such a cute Who name.
This whole cast is very attractive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they picked some
professional
people.
Theater attractive.
Mm-hmm. Funny thing that I found out is so the angel in training, Janine Mason, she was in, starred in Roswell.
She also won season 5 of So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah. What? Oh yeah. Yeah. That's how she got it all started. We saw a few moves from her and it was like, all right, nice.
Yeah.
And then, so she co-starred in Roswell with Christine Baranski's daughter.
Oh.
Right?
That's cute.
Isn't that a fun connection?
That's adorable.
Wait, nice. Which Roswell?
I don't know. The CW one.
The new one? The old
Yeah, one? The new one. I guess maybe it's still going on.
Oh, no, nope, the new one. It's Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah. Okay, oh, sorry. I forgot there's another series.
Yeah, I thought you meant like the old one. I was like, what?
I didn't even know they had rebooted that. I thought it was just the one from like me being in high school that was like, I think a one and done season kind of deal.
Yeah, with like Sherry Appleby and shit like that.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
She's in Trollstopia. I need to watch Trollstopia. I fucking love Trolls.
What?
Trolls? Like,
oh.
It's a TV show.
Oh, that Trolls.
Yeah, not the scary one, the cute one. She was in Grey's Anatomy a lot, too.
Oh, neat. Let's see, anybody else of interest?
Ooh, who was the dad? The dad, Matthew
Johnson?
The black Johnson? Dad? Yeah.
He had the best
voice.
Oh my god, by far. Oh, and like, there are good singers in here, but he pulled it out.
Mm-hmm. He was in Songland as a performer.
It's kind of a shame that, like, I guess through that opening, that, like, 8-minute opening song, they never really established anyone's name.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, like, the sheet and looking at character names and just, like, that's what your name was?
Phil the Mailman, what?
The old flame, his name was Treat?
In real life, his name is Treat.
Oh,
Treat Williams from the Phantom.
Shade, but still, dog. Really?
His name was Carl. No, Treat Williams was in the Everwood and the Phantom. Those are the only two things I remember him being in.
Wow, that's I haven't heard someone bring up Everwood since I was on Tumblr.
I've brought it up at least once before on this podcast.
Oh, the Phantom is a movie that isn't the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, it's the Billy Zane one. Was that Catherine Zeta-Jones too? She was in that one.
Is it a musical?
No.
Then I don't care.
It's a superhero movie. It's one of the older superhero movies. But it's Billy Zane all in purple riding a horse in the jungle. Come on.
I'll always pop for Billy Zane. He is a doting father and a fantastic tipper.
Oh my god. Oh, Treat's character in The Phantom was Xander Drax.
The part I remember the most was like he had some guy look into a binoculars and then he pushed the button and the binoculars like sprung some spikes into the dude's eyes and killed them instantly. It was real fucked up, but I mean,
fucked up.
It was memorable because I remembered it.
A wonderful piece of 90s action cheese.
Mm-hmm. So actually my favorite part of this movie was the character of Violet.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. The most adorable child.
Oh, like, yes. She was great.
So good. Just flawless. Flawless.
One of the few times that I went from like, oh, this song got me a little misty-eyed because everything is wholesome and nice, to, oh, I am actually crying, was her whole sequence, like, A, like, being just a born into bartending kind of child, and then, like, just running through her whole thing and being like, it's my fault. I was like, oh, God, no!
She was in Hidden Figures. That's pretty tight.
Yeah.
That was the point in the movie where my cat was like, okay, I'm done sitting in here for this. You're being annoying.
I think watching a lot of Christmas movies has desensitized me to crying now. Because normally I would have bawled in this movie.
It's an anime. I was ready for a good cry.
I teared up during one song, and we can talk about it when we get to the plot, but like overall, like I knew where I was supposed to cry, and I kind of teared up at parts, but like I don't cry in these movies anymore.
Maybe I cried like 3 minutes in when Dolly made eye contact with the camera and did her first
ball line. Oh my god.
It's Dolly.
Yeah, there was just some greatness all around, especially that fucking cloud, the CGI cloud. Oh, too good. All right, let's get into the plot. So I titled this Dolly's whatever, whatever in my notes. Christmas on the Square. There it is. It starts out with the like nice little traditional credits of impressionist paintings of a small made-up town of, what's it called?
Fullerville?
Yeah.
Fullerville?
That sounds right. And so we open on Dolly pretending to be a homeless lady.
Her outfit is it's just gray. It's like really nice gray mismatched outfit.
Like, throw in the sparkles just so that you know this is a magic hobo.
But I swear to God, that probably ensemble costs more than my whole wardrobe.
I was like, even if she's like supposed to appear like homeless, she still looks better than I ever will.
Also, who's passing by her with like that fucking like makeup and the hair, and they're just like, oh yeah, for sure, a homeless woman.
Oh, it's because her bangs aren't like perfectly coiffed or whatever.
Oh yeah. Her hair is the wrong kind of textured, I get it. Also in this opening sequence, she never stops moving, which is like jarring to me, and it just looks like she's kind of a tweaker. I'm like, maybe she is homeless. But yeah, so there's this whole opening song, and we get introduced to everybody. And she's like, here's this town, and it's Christmas. And then people start dancing, and it's really nice and sweet. It's all very ballet-inspired, too.
Yeah, and they had the aerial yoga person. And then they had... I like how in the cast, it has all the demographics that love Dolly. They had, like, big girls. They had gays. They have like lesbians in there. They have like older women, younger women, straight men, just everybody that loves Dolly.
Just everyone.
The entire population of the globe.
Yeah. It was very multicultural into that.
Just very realistic for small towns.
Yeah. Oh, I also want to shout out that a black woman directed the movie. Debbie Allen.
Wonderful.
She was like a TV star in the 90s.
Oh, nice.
Now she's just like a producer and director. Still a bad bitch, though.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, it definitely like had a lot of cultures represented without it feeling shoehorned, which I appreciated.
Yeah, even the flashback scene.
I'll say a tiny shoehorn for the aggressive gay culture in the voguing.
I was so excited to see voguing, and then I was like, okay Dolly, you had to shout out your whole gay fandom, all of the drag queens that love you. She put voguing in that.
I'm happy this is here, but also come on.
I mean, they also like were both hairdressers.
Yeah.
That didn't even own their own salon either. They're like, anyway, it's fine. But you know what? For the base that she appeals to, it's still a big step. And it's
perfect. Everyone is like, ah, all these people can live in harmony. And everyone else is like, ah, I got represented in a movie.
Yeah.
Except to Asians. But that's fine. There's only one or two.
What about no one? What about no
one? I saw some background dancers that looked Filipino-ish. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I thought Janine Mason might be. She, hold on, I'm just gonna stall unless I say something I shouldn't say.
We're playing a dangerous game.
Play a dangerous game here. Oh god damn it. Why can't they just be easy about this?
Does she have a wiki?
I know, I'm looking at her wiki. All right.
Cuban.
Okay. Never mind. My bad.
And that's why it's a dangerous game.
That's a dangerous game.
I can say it.
Well, because I had also, when I had searched her earlier, I did see a picture of her in a sari, but that may have just been something from a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's okay. So no Asian representation here. Dolly, mark it down. Dolly hates Asians. okay, so we get introduced to Regina, who is this very important rich woman. She's being driven around by her pretty assistant Janine.
I really almost legit said, "Who the fuck is Regina again?" She's only the main character.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess she also owns the town. And we get, again, like, we get introduced to all these characters up top, but we'll talk about them as their scenes actually come up, because it was a little hard,
yeah,
for me to be like, who's that? But also, so one of them is a couple who's a pastor and his wife, and they're trying to get preggers, and they're trying to have a baby, and they own a baby store, not like a store you buy babies at, but things for babies.
Yeah, that is weird to own a children's clothing store and not have children, and you're a pastor. Not gonna go there, but you get it.
God, wouldn't it be depressing if she turned out to be barren and she like owned a whole fucking store?
Oh god.
Like,
oh, it would be
I'm not ready
super,
for that sequel.
It would be, but they did like kind of brush over adoption, because
foreshadowing.
Adoption's not an unfamiliar topic for them.
Ooh. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, they're trying to get pregnant.
They're trying to fuck.
Oh, yeah. They're really cute with each other, too. Mm-hmm. We found out that Regina's dad, who used to own the town, has recently died, and she inherited all of the town. And she's just going around handing out eviction notices because she wants to pave over the town to make room for a mall, because people still go to malls.
Yeah. I don't know how owning a town works. I wish I knew how owning a town works. Also, don't landlords need like 30 days to give their tenants 30 days?
Not on Christmas.
She just wanted to get it done before the end of the fiscal year. So I get it.
I guess Dolly doesn't know.
Pay her hometown and put up a shop and mall.
It does. I think it also depends on renter's rights, which can depend from state to state, because they're all technically like renting from her because she owns all the properties, I guess. I don't know.
Did they establish what state this is in?
They said the middle.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know that state? Have you been there?
I believe I've been to a few of the middles. I've been to East Middle, West Middle.
The capital is Center.
Oh, so it's Pennsylvania. I didn't know that this was set outside Centralia.
Wait, is that a real place?
It is. That's the place. That's the place where the fire never stops burning through the coal mines.
Oh.
Amazing ghost town stuff. You should look up some videos on YouTube of them just going through the ghost town that is on fire underground.
Nope. God can have that.
You can tell where my head's been at for the past couple months.
Okay, I need to move on because I have so many fucking questions. Oh my god. You know what? I'm just going to move on. Here we go. So we're
going to get some links later, sweetie.
That's fantastic. We're also introduced to the hairdressers, which are two gay men who are probably a couple. I can't assume anything, but I can also assume that there's probably no other gay people in this town.
They're a couple of best friends.
Oh! Or as we would call it in South Carolina, a couple of confirmed bachelors.
Ah, yes.
Who just happen to be roommates. Bless their hearts. I just hope that they're in the good graces of the Lord. Actual words that have come out of my grandparents' mouth. Anyway, so Marjolaine is the hair salon owner, and that is Jennifer Lewis, and she's got this fun little number.
Fantastic.
Oh, my
good number.
She kills it. Also, during this whole sequence too, that are being introduced throughout the town, just homeless Dolly is just following people around, like, real creepy. Like Dolly in this movie loves peeking in people's windows, just like hanging out.
Do they see her?
I think they should see her as the homeless person, but as the angel, it's anyone's guess.
She like sparkles away though, even as like the homeless person.
I think it's kind of a like, if she wants them to see her, she's there. If not, poof.
The magic system in this movie is very confusing.
Yeah.
They really don't establish the lore of the magic, which I have to knock off points for. There's not enough lore, even though there's God lore.
It's Christianity.
Yeah, I was going to be like, isn't the lore the Bible? But like, I haven't read that since high school, so.
Well, there's not even a real Bible in it. There's only an alternate history Bible that we'll get to later.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it is. They even like reference as well. Oh god, what's the one with the guy who's like, ah, the bell rings and the angel wings.
A Christmas Story?
No,
that's a Carol, not Story.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah, there's a fucking line in one of the songs. Your life isn't wonderful and you're not George Bailey. Beautiful.
Beautiful
delivery from fucking, who is it that's Regina again? What's her real name?
Kate Baranski.
Yeah, there it is.
And they also have a line about it too, among the, when the angels are talking, when Janine's character, Felicity and Dolly are talking as well. Oh, and also, like, when she introduces herself later, she's like, oh, it's like, I'm an angel. She like goes like, oh, what's your name? Angel.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking idiot. Like, yeah, my name is Angel because I'm an angel. What the fuck did you think my name was?
My name would rip out your tongue if you were to pronounce it.
Oh, man. Okay, so basically Regina's handing out all the eviction notices. People are real mad. We definitely find out that Marjolaine, like, was her best friend growing up. She also had a lover growing up. But she moved off to the big city to do something to be, like, vaguely successful.
Yeah.
Business.
Business. And after she gives out all the evictions, there's this fun shot of these dogs in a wheelbarrow.
Oh, yeah. They were so cute.
And there's a little eviction notice. There's an eviction notice on the wheelbarrow.
I also loved when she was in the salon handing out the eviction notices. All of the vogers from before were just shimmying their shoulders with concerned looks on their face.
God, okay. I promise.
The choreography is all over the place in this film. It is not. It is sometimes great, sometimes awful, and sometimes, oh, please, we need to take the energy down just a step.
Holly, can you
I
look
don't know
up
how people? Yeah, I was gonna. I don't know how people can like choreograph like those big confusing numbers.
Yeah, especially because they had definitely built just like one general set, like for the town itself, and CGI'd everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So they were working with a large space in this kind of like shanty town. No, that's not the right word.
It's just a small town.
It's a small fake town. One time I visited the town that they erected for Big Fish. Because they just, like, straight up built a town, like, mm-hmm. for the movie Big Fish. And it's still there, like, in nowhere about Alabama.
Oh, my God.
And you could just, like, go and, like, things are, like, deteriorating. Like, some of the buildings are just facades. Like, there's, like, molding, like, styrofoam, like, branches. It's nuts.
Taking a note for more dead town video watching.
Okay. I see assistant choreographer. I don't see regular choreographer.
That says a lot to me, actually.
Kim Hale is the assistant choreographer. Let me open up.
It seems like she did her best.
Yeah.
It holds up mostly fine choreography-wise until the last 20 minutes, which, like, story-wise, pure chaos. But mm-hmm. choreography-wise, I was actually frightened at some of the faces people were making. Like, oh, this is the part where everyone was on uppers. All right, cool.
Ooh, but wait. There was a credit for the wig specifically for Miss Parton. And
amazing.
There was a wig maker specifically for Christine Baranski, Amanda Miller.
Yeah.
Cheryl Riddle was the Miss Parton wig. And then there was a makeup artist personal to Jennifer Lewis, Jennifer E. Ivey.
Nice.
She did great.
Yeah, great job.
It looked amazing throughout the whole film, so.
Yeah, killed it.
I don't know what choreography is, but.
The next, after this big old town number and hearing a little bit about, you know, what's the deal with Regina, she runs over Dr. Marshall. So she's ignoring calls from Dr. Marshall. And then he's like, hey, you have a shadow on your brain. You might have cancer. Bye.
After she almost runs him over with her car.
Yeah.
Because Dolly did magical angel attempted murder with a flyer.
That's right. She's like, I'm going to change you. No, that's a terrible Dolly. I'm going to change you. No, still real bad. I've been in Texas too long.
The second one was closer.
Yeah. She's also like, hey, I'll see you later, hairdresser. Hairdresser comes over to do her hair. Oh, no, wait, sorry. I missed a song, which was the pastor and his wife singing a cute little love song.
Oh, this is the one I cried.
It was cute.
Oh, yeah, I got misty on it. It was nice.
One of the lines was, there were no butts in our wedding vows.
But there's butts in the bedroom. Ew.
Yeah. So this is a song that I just loved and hated in equal measure. Oh yeah, and the pastor is the one, his name is Christian, Pastor Christian, which is hilarious. He's the one organizing the effort to, I guess, protest Regina.
Yeah.
Yes, the town's resist movement, a very subtle nod to the world that we live in.
Yeah, they just, there's like, it doesn't seem like there's an action plan other than just like hate on her real bad.
Yeah, bully her because she's bullying the town.
All right, we're gonna fast forward back to her getting her hair done, and Jennifer Lewis just sings this awesome super jazzy song while butchering her hair.
Just I think that she's a total professional because she didn't shave that girl bald.
Yeah.
Oh,
she
yeah.
just teased like half of her hair a little bit extra.
But I mean, you could also tell like there's a few like where she just like took like angry snips in her hair. And I'm like, God, I hope that's a wig.
Just like, probably. I'm shocked that you're not hot waxing her head clean.
I don't understand why people think it's okay to piss off people that do their hair or their serve their food.
Dumb.
I was like, hey, I'm going to evict you, but come to my house tomorrow so you can do my hair. Don't be late.
We also find out, is Jennifer Lewis the current mayor?
No, she's the former mayor.
Who's the current mayor?
No idea. I don't know.
That's just weird. Why wouldn't they make her
established?
Why wouldn't they just make her the current mayor?
Because she has hair to do.
Okay. Well, anyway, she was the mayor at some point and just hates on Christine Baranski's character about being a dick to everyone and evicting everybody. Yeah. And she's like, but the Cheetah Mall, which is also a hilarious, the cheetah. I'm sure like Dolly thought that was like really clever too. It's like, because she's a cheater. It's like, okay, Dolly.
Got him.
Oh, I didn't get that. I just thought it was like a weird name for a mall.
I think it was just supposed to be a really dumb pun. So Carl, we find out, is a handsome older man with some pretty nice dentures, mm-hmm. who's owns the shop.
General store, yeah.
The general store, which is kind of turned into a secondhand store. She goes in there to hand him an eviction notice. And she's like, well, what do you even do with all this junk? And he sings a really cute song about what everything in the store means.
Mm-hmm.
And how everyone who had something that means something to them, he now has it.
Because he's a creepy hoarder.
Kinda.
Collector of memories.
I wouldn't surprise if he has like a box full of like kids' teeth.
Ew. Is that where he got his dentures from?
He's the town tooth fairy.
I mean, he's like, well, these meant something to them. And now they're at my shop.
Now they're a part of my smile.
Instead of a dollar, you'll get one of your parents' antique possessions underneath your pillow. Have fun waking up on this clock, little shit.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. And so Dolly's still stalking the hell out of this lady. And she's like, I'm going to change you one way or the other. You know what? I'm sorry. I haven't lived in the Appalachians in quite some time. There's a much different accent up there. She just has like such a gracious way about her anyway. So she... I'm trying to make sense of my notes and also remember what happens next. Oh, she's trying to look for something in her house after Felicity drove her home. She's like, oh, like the lights don't work, blah, blah, blah. And then Dolly appears as an angel this time instead of a homeless person. Oh. And then she has a whole song just singing about how she's an angel and her name is Angel and how great angels are.
Oh my gosh. Wait, pause. Is this because her lights don't work? So her lights don't work, but then the light at the end of the movie is like the key to her life or whatever the fuck. I don't know. Is it like a connection thing? Did I make a connection?
Did you're oh right God. That is really
I don't get symbolism in movies a lot, so I felt really
I think you found movie. The one subtle piece of symbolism in the film
that oh my nice. God I'm bad at symbolism and I found a subtle one. I'm amazing, right?
Championship.
Immediately after the song she talks about that her dad's favorite parable was a Scottish parable of the lamplighter.
Oh my God. And wasn't he a lamplighter also? Oh, because she was in the darkness, and then she will find the light, and she found the light with Carl, and then her son was in it. Okay.
Because, yeah, she's... We definitely find out that she's got some, like, major daddy issues.
She does.
At the age of 68. Can you imagine?
Like, yes!
Yeah.
Oh, God,
I will
no.
probably have daddy issues until the day I die.
No! I thought you got over it.
I was 7.
No! I thought I would... I figured I'd get over it by the time I'm like, I don't know, 35, 40, 40, I don't know. I just feel like there's a timeline on that.
No, whenever I think, but whenever I think I'm done with my daddy issues, I'm just like, you know what? We've repaired our relationship. Things are fine. Here's a dream that you didn't ask for where you fight your dad.
Yeah.
And you cry while you fight. And it's like, I don't like this. This isn't cool.
Or you find out that he did, in fact, vote for Trump.
I don't think my dad votes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Actually, wait, no, my mom did be like, hey, this election is so important, I even got your dad to finally vote. I don't think he had voted since the 80s, but, you know, congrats, Pops. Maybe now you can learn how to use the fucking internet.
Maybe now you could call me sometimes.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
So, this whole time, by the way, that Dolly is singing her song and talking, she's like on the CGI cloud, which is, and she just like has this like like a very awkward way of just like having her hands crossed. And it just like looks like the cloud's swallowing her. But she still looks cute as hell because she's Dolly.
I want to believe that she brought that cloud from home.
It's a Dollywood cloud.
Yeah, she's gotta have like been like, hey, I found all the human ingenuity that I could find in the world. We've made me a cloud to float on because I am actually a perfect angel.
No, I think it's wonderful and hilarious and something I would definitely do. Of like, just like be like, I'm producing a movie. I'm gonna play an angel. That's me, because I am. Like, you know what? Accurate. That's fine. Also, the line is said from Regina, I hope if I have another hallucination, it won't be wearing rhinestones.
Sacrilege. Sacrilege. Especially that, like, following that was a beautiful shot of Dolly's rhinestoned heels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
and I have a note that just says, fucking rhinestone heels, though! It's
fucking heels.
Christine Baranski's just a hater.
Yeah, she's hating. We also see that there's a town meeting just to, like, I guess trash talk Regina. And they call her the Wicked Witch of the Middle.
I hated this song. It was so much.
Oh, the song where they plot murder in church?
Oh, that's right!
Yeah.
A very unintentional bit of social commentary on current Christianity.
I really like the old crazy lady that was like, just rough her up a little.
She had the best point. Like, yeah. That's good. Yeah, just fuck her up a little.
Yeah.
I did like the choreography in this one. I thought they used the space really well, and they used the group choreography really well. I like it.
It was a good way to break up the inherent static of, like, what is essentially a town hall sequence.
Yeah. No, I was in the musical Footloose, and there was like also like a town hall that took place like in the church. Like, I think there was like three separate scenes. So I've actually done a town hall church number, like dance number, and it just reminded me of that. It gave me warm feelings inside.
Hell yeah.
Because I think I played Violet, who was the mom. Anyway.
Oh my god, there's a Violet in this movie.
There is a Violet. Oh yeah, so Dolly is just like, oh, so we find out that, no, we don't find that out yet. I don't know why we find out in the middle of the movie. This should have been a central plot line of Felicity being in training to be an angel.
Oh yeah,
I didn't catch that until the very end.
It was something that could have really been a great, like, B plot that they kind of just picked up and dropped whenever they felt like. But Dolly tells Regina not to go to the town hall meeting, but she goes anyway. And she, I guess, just storms in there to be like, fuck you guys. They're like, no, fuck you. And she's like, all right. Well, you guys have to be out by tomorrow night, Christmas Eve. So, haha. And then leaves. But she does it in a nice way, so that's okay, I guess.
Does she?
I don't know. I guess there's no nice way to do that.
Yeah. evictions are inherently cruel. No matter how polite you are when you deliver the notice.
Yeah, it's still real bad. And the town, there's another song, the town, actually it might be 15. I think I forgot to count this song because it was a different song than the town hall meeting song. And now there's another town hall song where they're just like hopeful and they're just talking about hope.
The hot pastor's like, yeah.
Oh, and this is the one where the dad had a really just like awesome solo where you're like, oh, pipes.
Yeah. Oh. That dad is so hot.
He is so hot. I wrote a note. I wrote this note. I hate this song, but I'm still smiling. Like, what? I felt like that a lot in this movie, too.
I remember very few of the songs, and I watched this at, like, 11 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, 15 songs. It's crazy.
Yeah, I watched this yesterday just remember, and then like, today.
The Dolly numbers, those are really the only memorable songs.
This next song is the one that I remembered and I loved, which is when she drops her keys, she can't find her keys, so she just goes in the next bar and she's like, I wonder if booze is good for brain tumors. And she meets this cute little girl who's bartending, and she's Violet. all like, aren't you a little young to be a bartender? And she's like, whatever, buzz the town hall, you want a whiskey? Oh, she tells us she's a diva. She's like, oh, you arrive late and leave early? You're a diva. Like, fuck yeah. And she tells her, when I'm older, I'm going to be the party. Ugh, and pours herself a chocolate milk like a fucking badass.
So cute.
They both discover they have dead moms. And they have, so they like have this like really adorable moment where they relate to each other. It's like really fun and light. And you can tell like this is like the first like really, I don't know, cordial and warm conversation that Regina's had in a while.
Yeah.
And they sing the song about life is not a fairy tale. And it's so cute. It's such a beautiful duet. I'm such a huge fan of like well done duets, and they nailed it.
Yeah, knocked it out of the park.
Oh. Yeah. So this was the most memorable one for me. If you want to ask me to sing the tune, I have no idea, but I got all the warm and fuzzies. Because she made a friend. Let's see.
And then they drag you right back down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, because we find out that her mom got killed because apparently her mom owned a drugstore that Regina ended up shutting down.
Wait. Pause. Regina only took over the town 6 months ago.
Well, it did mention that she started evicting people pretty quickly who weren't, like, ponying up.
So, the little girl says that when she was 3 weeks old, she had a bad fever.
Oh!
Did I just find a time inconsistency?
Oh my God, you did!
Oh, you definitely did.
Did Regina's dad die 6 years ago or 6 months ago?
Either way, that child...
I feel like it was 6 months ago.
I don't know.
I'm confused.
I don't... I guess I'll have to watch it again. If anybody's listening to this who's like, it definitely was 6 years ago, you stupid bitch. But yeah, it was 6 years ago.
Six?
She looked like she was 9 or 10.
Yeah, I was getting a lot of, like...
She's like a TV six, but like a real-life 10 or 11.
You think?
I don't care about kids' ages.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, it got a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes. Anyway, so timeline inconsistencies aside, Regina was indirectly responsible for her mother's death because the drugstore closed down. She had to like go to a different town to get medicine when she was sick as a baby. And on her way back, ended up getting into a car accident. So she was even like, you know, I don't even blame... It's because she doesn't know that Regina is Regina.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even blame her, like, because it was also my fault for being sick. And it's like, oh, no.
That was when I started sobbing.
Yeah, I was really sad there. That got my heart. I didn't cry, but I felt the twinge in my chest.
It was like the dual hit of, like, ah, we've had this very nice moment, and then, like, we've gotten the real trauma, and then also the like, oh, but it's also my fault for getting sick, and I'm like, no!
Yeah. The best line in the scene, though, is you'll wind up happy in the end if you look at what makes you happy now. I know that seems so simple, but that's a hella pro tip.
That will sell so many needle points.
I'm into it.
I'll buy one.
I will.
I'll make y'all a bead version of it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, good.
A needle point.
I tried needle point when I was really bored for quarantine, and I fucking hated it. It was so dumb.
You're like, I am not a fucking Pride and Prejudice character.
It takes so damn long, and like, I like spent like 30 minutes and made like one line, and I was like, no. So anyway, Dolly, I guess, talks to her at some point. She just remembers her father lighting a lamp, and he was like, this is gonna hang in the town square. And yeah, I want to keep rents low and spirits high.
Yeah, she has like a flashback.
Yeah, apparently she was blonde as a little kid and as a teenager.
That happens to people. Wait, Adam, weren't you like a blonde baby?
I was a blonde baby. I was a platinum blonde baby, and now I have to pay $200 every time I want to go back to it.
Oh, how did I know that about you?
It's a fun fact. Nobody knows what I was like as a child.
Oh my god, am I psychic?
I was precocious.
Am I psychic?
I think you, yeah, I think so. Because I don't think I've ever posted baby pictures. Oh my god. Just guessed it.
Nice. No, I mean, I knew it. I didn't guess it, Adam. I knew it. Oh my god, maybe I'm an angel.
Oh my god, I was wrong.
What?
I definitely miscounted the amount of songs. According to Wikipedia, there is 22.
Shut the fuck up.
No, I even said the wrong one just now. It's 25.
What? 25 songs in this goddamn movie? Is this the Umbrella of Chambord or whatever the fuck that is?
It's about like an hour and 45 minutes long.
It's an hour 30.
It's like an hour 33 or an hour 30. I think
It felt longer. It definitely felt longer.
98 minutes.
If you were sober, it could feel long.
Oh, man. So anyway, that was real fun. this is where we find out that Felicity is an angel in training. It's just like a really cute like little B plot at this point. She is tasked with changing Regina's heart and making her good again. And she's like, go wake her up. But at the same time, Regina is super rude to Felicity and is really shitty to her.
Yeah.
So Felicity is like fed up and she wants to quit. And then Dolly sings her another song about not quitting.
Yeah.
That's the one where they did ballet, right?
Yes. Yeah, there's some ballet moments.
I forgot that.
Another weird cruelty moment from Angel Dolly, where she makes Felicity do ballet in heels. I can't even imagine what that does to someone's ankle. Like, regardless of whether they are mortal or angel or a zombie, whatever, that's torture.
Yeah. This song is called Everybody Needs an Angel. Ugh. So then she's in her CAT scan, and while she's in her CAT scan, I guess Dolly's also in her CAT scan, like just hanging out in the whatever CAT scan thing is.
Yeah. Dolly was the shadow on her brain. It was the shadow of the hand of the Lord.
But this is where we find out why Regina's so mean. Because she only went to one dance ever as a teenager and got pregnant.
That would fuck me up too if I only went to one dance and got pregnant.
She went to one dance, had sex once, and got pregnant.
Man.
It's a slippery slope, my dudes.
That's why her dad didn't want her to go to dances growing up. If you go to dances, you're going to get pregnant. And then she did.
All it takes is one cream pie and you're set.
Well, it's also a testament to poor sexual education in small towns. Like,
obviously, you saw how his hips gyrated when they were dancing together. Oh.
Well, the further context to that is her and Carl were going steady. Mm-hmm. She saw him in a closet showing a ring to another girl, and she was like, fuck this guy, and then went to dance with another guy, immediately had sex with him, I guess, mm-hmm. got pregnant, had to break up with Carl. Apparently the ring was for her. She felt like an idiot, dumb. She had the baby, and the dad takes the baby away.
Yeah.
And she was just real mad at the town and her dad and everything, and so she went away and became, again, vaguely successful in the city, mm-hmm. which business I guess city. The business city where they do business. after she comes out of the CAT scan, she like realizes that's why she's such a meanie bitch, and she's like, well, I'm gonna change and be better. And as she's exiting the hospital, Violet, the little bartender kid, got hit by a car and is being rushed into the emergency room. And she looks up to the heavens and asks the angel named Angel to save her.
You know what's really fucked up? To change Regina's heart, they had to hurt a little girl.
Yeah. Oh my God, do you think they did that?
Yes.
Oh my God, the angels.
It was part of God's plan, and I don't like that.
Oh no.
That checks for God.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's really fucked up.
Maybe this was the point where I had started also playing gem match games on my phone. which, to be fair, was a good portion of the movie.
Yeah.
But like, I could not tell that she had been hit by a car. They really made it sound like a jogger just like was rushing through, fumbled into her, and it's like, yeah, she got hit on the bridge.
Oh no.
Like they accidentally tackled her off the bridge.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just kept fucking jogging.
Oh no, that's definitely it.
I also put down a note here for myself as well, is this has happened already like three other times in the movie. Where somebody says, good heavens, and Dolly goes, yes, they are.
Yeah, yes, they are hurting little girls.
Ugh. Hey. Nice.
Thanks.
Oh, and then the dad sings her a song while she's in the hospital.
This was the song I liked the most.
Oh, it was really
sad, but it was so good.
Yeah. He's such a good singer.
Yeah, he has the best voice of the whole movie.
The true non-Dolly MVP of the film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's called Hot A Father's Dad. Prayer.
Maybe we can be my split dad. An MVP with the child, too. Like, that family is just talent.
Ugh.
Ugh. So, I mean, she knows talent. She knows how to do talent. Oh, yeah. So now that Regina's all like, I'm good now, she's like, walking tall, being like, I'm good now. I'm going to go talk to Carl.
No, she sends the doctor. That's sounds good.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she calls a doctor from a different city, a pediatric doctor, to come and help
pediatric
out.
Pediatric brain doctor.
She pays for the good doctor.
From Kensington, over 100 miles away.
Where's Kensington?
Over Is that 100 a real city? Miles away. I
don't know. Wait, let me see. I want to... Go ahead and stall.
It's a palace in London.
Okay. Definitely not.
There's a Kensington in Pennsylvania.
There's also the Kensington apartments in Austin.
That's where they were. That's where she comes from. The best doctor in Kensington apartments in Austin, Texas.
Ooh, wait. Every year, drug tourists from all over the U.S. visit Kensington for the heroin. It's a New York Times article.
She called Dr. Feelgood.
But this is Kensington, Philadelphia.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The theory stands.
Yeah. Great. That's fantastic. Oh.
Yeah.
So after she calls the Kensington doctor, who's just going to give this little girl heroin, she... wants to talk to Carl, at his little shop, who everybody's packing up their shops at this point because they have to be out. She's like, hey, Carl, I know it's been a while, but what up?
It's Carl's been literally like, oh. 50 years.
And he's like, no, bitch, like, you're evicting me from my fucking hometown and my business. Like, kick rocks.
She literally, I can't even believe she can't get over something that happened 50 years ago. 50. Like, yeah. She was about 18. She's probably 17 or 18. Now she's 68. This bitch needs to get the fuck over it.
Well, you know, being a teen mom is traumatic.
50 years ago? Wait, if it was 50 years ago, why is Christian not 50 years old?
Maybe.
Because time is an illusion.
You're right. Time just doesn't exist.
Yeah, like the 3 weeks or the 6 years or 6 months since her dad died. Man.
Maybe she's supposed to be a different age in this movie. Anyway.
I just think that, like, since this is big budget community theater, it comes with some of the shortcomings, such as please don't look into this too hard.
Yeah. I guess in like high school productions, it's like, oh, a teenager is playing an old woman.
Yeah. I played two moms when I was in high school. It's because I had the biggest
old
boobs.
Angry people.
Yeah, when you get big boobs in high school, real young, they're like, you're a mom. I'm like, okay. Guess leading ladies don't have big boobs anymore. Thanks, Dolly.
She took all the boobs for herself.
She did.
She really does rein in the classic Dolly cleavage for this film as well.
She's an angel. She's a worker of God.
An angel can have cleavage. It's not a sin to have titty.
Tell that to my parents, my school, my pastor, and that nun one time.
All those people, it's not a crime to have titty.
I know. It took me years to unlearn that, actually. But yeah, I would wear a turtleneck and they'd be like, it's too much cleavage. Get out of here. Oh yeah, and I had to put on a sweater one time at a dance because it showed too much cleavage. Ugh. Even though everybody else is wearing the same cut of dress that year. Despite my childhood trauma, she she's back at her house and Dolly's talking to her. She's like, grief is love with nowhere to go. Felicity is like, hey, you good? I'm going to peace out. I'm going to go to church, which is weird that an angel's going to church, but okay. Then we cut back to the husband and the wife who are packing up their little baby shop. Then the wife has a cute little song and the angel sings a little bit. And then Dolly gets her pregnant.
She just like Pillsbury Doughboys her stomach. And she's like, oh, you got a baby.
Yeah, she just straight up. She straight up points her finger at this lady's stomach and then just gets her pregnant.
And I it's the baby maker.
and like the woman just like looks up and goes, woohoo! Just feels her tummy.
She literally is the Pillsbury Doughboy.
My notes just say Dolly just got that lady preggers OMG in all caps. And I also rewound it just so I could see it again.
You gotta shoot, it's a Christmas film, it's a Christian Christmas film. You gotta shoe in a Virgin Mary reference somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I would, if I were with that pastor, if I were that pastor's wife, I would love to get pregnant the old-fashioned way.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. He was a hottie.
Yeah.
acapella singing hottie.
Listen, nobody said that acapella singers couldn't be hot. It's just they have an unfuckable personality.
True. They can hold their breath for a long time.
Very necessary. And they know how to open their throat.
There you go. Wow. Yes.
Y'all, we are just desecrating this Christian film.
Nothing else we can take away the joy that we finally sexualized a cappella singers.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, and then we're back at Ruth with Regina. She's talking to her portrait, her dad portrait, her portrait of her dad. Oh, she also got his lantern, I guess, from the song at the guy's
general store.
I guess she lights it and a Bible pops out.
I think she clicks it.
That was the family Bible. With all the secrets.
The family secret Bible. She opens up the little Bible and there's something written in there, and it tells her that her baby boy was adopted and named ...
I know. Okay, so they didn't name it at the time, but I was sitting here at my computer just watching. I was like, say his fucking name. Say Christian. Say Christian right now. Say Christian. You better fucking say Christian right now. Like, I was just yelling at it for like a whole minute. Like, say his fucking name.
What if it was Violet's dad?
That'd be tight.
I would have taken that too. That also works.
Those angels. You know what? I've seen the Disney Cinderella version with Brandy. I would have accepted it.
Anyway, so we go to the church on Christmas Eve. And they're like, all we gotta do is pray. There's a whole fun song. The little girl Violet's better. Oh, yeah. Oh, woohoo. Dr. Marshall. Sorry. My notes just say Dr. Marshall needs to look where the fuck he's going. So she almost runs him over again. And he's like, hey, guess what? You don't have a tumor. She's like, cool, I'm going to go to that church. So in the middle of Christian doing his damn sermon, doing his fucking job, she just waltzes in there and just announces her personal business.
Well, doesn't she visit the clothing store and is like, hey, I'm your,
you're right.
Luke, I am your mother.
Sorry. I fast forward a little bit. No, you're right. She was just like straight up like, hey, I'm your mom. Thank you for
sup, son.
Yeah, because he actually gives her the lead-in to show up.
Yeah,
because he already knows that the nice thing is about to happen, and that everyone's going to be happy until they realize, ah, shit, we got to put everything back up now.
So, but not before he relates himself to Jesus,
of course,
by being like, a baby was born. And to a mother, like, okay, here we go. And he's just telling the town his whole damn business. And then Regina comes up and tells the town her whole damn business. Dolly materializes over the altar with full angel wings.
Best Christmas topper ever.
Oh my God, I would actually pay for that though.
I would send that to every person in my family.
So yes. We used to have an angel Christmas topper. If you twisted it, it would like do a little song. Like it was like a music box. Oh. I would pay for a Dolly Parton Christmas angel music box topper, tree topper. I'd pay up to $150 for it. That's my price limit.
I agree.
As long as it doesn't short circuit and start playing a really sad song at 3:30 in the morning.
Like a Furby.
A Furby that sings Jolene.
Oh.
Oh, I really hate that I brought that into the world.
What? I forgot the Furby was like. So. Oh, she straight up jacks the podium, sings an apology song, tells them that she's not selling the town. Everyone's real stoked, and they dance in the square.
I wonder if they get to keep the check that she gave them to move out.
Ooh, you know, that would be a nice Merry Christmas.
I think that they do, because she's feeling nice and charitable now.
Yeah. And then Felicity gets to be an angel, and okay, I gotta review this dress because her dress is awesome. I loved it so much. It had these like cute little angel wing sort of
shoulder pads,
puff sleeves. I loved it. And it didn't have rhinestones because they kind of personalized it to her. It was, I thought they were just gonna make her into like another Dolly angel, but Dolly was her own damn angel.
Yeah,
she was the one with rhinestones.
She was angel.
Yeah, and they gave Felicity her own style as an angel, yeah. And I appreciated that.
The thing is, as an angel, you have to earn your rhinestones. You don't get them right up top. You have to change the hearts of at least 40 old, miserable ladies.
What if for every person that they change, they get a rhinestone, and Dolly was just like, bad bitch angel?
Yes. I would agree with that.
Can you imagine how many cleaned souls it took to get those fucking rhinestone heels?
I mean, she's Dolly, yeah.
She's Dolly.
She's the angel.
Also, I noticed another fun, weird choreography quirk during the end sequence when Regina has her nice little wholesome dance with Carl in the middle of the square. Everyone around them is doing the choreography from Jump On It.
What?
Or like some sort of variation. The hand up and then you like turn with you doing like kind of a half hop. Jump on it! Jump on it! Jump on it!
Oh, really? Fun! I don't know.
A very cute note that was just like, okay, well somebody, this seems lazy, but also I love that it's here.
The last line of the entire movie is, "That's what Christmas is." Like, that's it. That's what Christmas is.
Just one last sledgehammer of exposition via song.
That's what Christmas is. What can I say? And the kiss. I was going to rate the kiss between the husband and wife that they had had.
One?
Yeah, I just rated that one. I didn't rate because I think they had some sweet moments after that, but that was the main one. And yeah. I gave it a 3 out of 5.
I also gave it a 3 French hens.
Mm-hmm. Out of 5 golden rings.
5 golden rings. It was just like, it was a sweet peck after. Cause like I took that song that she sang in the beginning as like a, why are you with me? I'm like this like weird, quirky, chunky girl. And you're like this hot, dope ass pastor that probably has like the best tongue in the world. But.
That's why they can't get pregnant. He's too good with the tongue. And it's just like, I can't. Dog, you just went down on me for an entire album. What the fuck? Well, I gotta take a nap. My brain is mush.
I mean, it's also very clear that sex education isn't very rampant in this town either. So who knows how they're trying?
I'm gonna throw a 2 for that kiss.
Yeah.
Mostly because I forgot that it even happened. I thought that there were no smooches in this movie. And there was that one, but it's a married smooch. I can't rate it that high.
There was a makeout scene with a young Carl and young Regina.
Oh yeah.
That was like sweet. I would give that a 3 also.
It was a brief flashback. I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, but I'm gonna slap it
with another 2.
I'll slap with another 3.
Yeah.
Young love. Whatever. So that's it. That's the whole kit and caboodle. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this bitch up like a present. Adam, do you have anything to plug or to say to our sweet little audience members?
First, happy holidays. Stay safe. No need to stay sober. I will plug that sometime around the beginning of December, we will be airing another episode of our it's another special edition of Party World Wrestling Presents Pandemic Stuff.
Nice.
It was filmed in front of an audience of skeletons. So you know it's safe because bones can't transmit disease, at least not this one. Mm-hmm. They usually keep it within the bones. that'll come out in December. You can watch me wrestle my friend in a mask.
Lovely. Well, yay, I'm excited.
Very responsible, but also we all deeply miss being hitting each other for fun.
Yeah.
And conflict. Yeah, that's it. Otherwise, you cannot follow me on any of my accounts because I am job hunting. so I don't want to say them on air, but there is one. You can follow my cat at birdie_box420. She is on Instagram. Please help me turn my cat into an influencer so I don't have to work anymore.
Yep. We'll definitely put all of those links in our show notes. You can email us at netflixmispodcast@gmail.com, Patreon at netflixmispodcast, Instagram, Facebook at netflixmispodcast, Twitter at netflixmispod. And yeah, that's it.
Yay! Well, you know, I know we're coming up on the holidays. Again, be safe, be responsible. Mm-hmm. We love you, and we hope you have a very
merry Netflix
must. Nailed it.
Got it in one.
Have you ever wondered why we sing and eat figgy pudding during the holidays? How does the butter letter from 11th century Rome create the perfect holiday dessert? Join me, Glenn Warren, on Seasons Eatings as we explore the history and origins of your favorite Christmas foods. So head on over to SeasonsEatingsPodcast.com to subscribe on your podcast app of choice.